Remember, this coming Sunday, we have our Thanksgiving meal, a Sunday morning after the Sunday morning service. We'll have that. Then, of course, next week's midweek prayer service will be on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. And so those are a few of the changes, a couple of changes coming up. Then it won't be long till Christmas season, and then we can say it won't be long till it's all over. That's what we look forward to. But enjoy the season, enjoy the time. But it sort of gets everybody out of kelter a little bit and gets things in different places and different ways. And you eat too much and you feel miserable and wonder why you did and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm always ready for the first of the year, and that gets things back in normal gear. But until then, we'll just have to endure and enjoy it and those things that are ahead for us. If you would take your Bibles tonight, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 13. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading in verse number 34, and we'll read down through the rest of the chapter, which is verse 37. Just a few verses here tonight. Mark chapter 13 and verse number 34. Says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ giving us a view of a man that leaves his place and his household and takes a trip to a far, far journey. The Lord is comparing himself to this man that is leaving his place of abode and going to another place. And he gives authority to his servants. And as he does that, he tells them that there is a work to do and there are things that must be taken care of. And he tells the porter to watch because his coming will be unannounced. His coming will be when they're least expecting it. And so he tells them and encourages them to watch. He tells us in verse number 34, the command, he commanded the porter to watch, and then says, "Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh." And then he says, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." And Jesus departed and took his trip, and then he is going to come back. And of course, we can give many illustrations. You can make many applications to this these few verses. But I want us tonight for just a little while to think about those things, what he left behind. You see, when you take a journey, whether if it's for just a little while or if you make a move, there's always things that you leave behind. Now, in our personal moving, we leave junk behind. We leave those things we don't want. And we say, why in the world did I keep this? And you go through your closets and go through the attic and you go through the garage and you say, I remember buying this, but wonder why I kept it. And then you say, wonder why I even bought it. And so we leave things behind when we make a move. Well, Jesus, of course, we know, left this world, and he left some things behind. Now, he didn't leave any junk behind. The Lord doesn't have any of that. That's only for you and I. But he did have some things that he left behind, and as Jesus departed here, he tells these people, these servants and the porter, he said, "You have a job to do, and there's things you must take care of, because you don't know when I'm coming back, and if you're not careful, you'll be sleeping, and I'll come and you not know it." And so he says, "What I say to you, I say to all," in just one word, and it is to watch. I believe the central theme here of this passage would be for us to watch. It would be for us to have a sense of understanding of what's taking place and what's going on, and for us to be aware that the Lord told us some things and gave us some illustrations and gave us many verses in the Scripture to prove to us and to convince us that He is coming back. He's taking a trip. And it's to a far place, but he is coming back again. And many, many places he tells us that we are to watch for his appearing. But tonight, rather than to go that direction, I want us to think about what he left when he left here. Now, if you was to turn over to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, chapter 1, you find the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the story there as the disciples were there talking to the Lord, and he's given them that last command of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Bible says while he is speaking to them, they beheld him being raised or being ascended into heaven. And of course we have the story there of the angels telling the disciples to not stand there and gaze and wonder, because even though he's gone, he's coming again, and he is coming back. But when he left here, there's some things that he left behind that are good for us, and there are some things that we need to do because he's left it for us to do. We are his servants that are mentioned here in verse number 34. He gave authority to his servants, to every man his work. And so we'll be looking at some of that. But there's some things in the Scripture that tells us that Jesus, as he left, when he left this work of the Lord and left the earthly ministry, we have the stories in the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have the different accounts of all the things that Jesus did while he was here. And then, of course, we have him leaving and going back to his Father's house. And he has been there all these years, but he is coming again. But when he left some things behind. And I want us to look at about five of them tonight, what God has given to us and what the Lord has left behind that we can rejoice in and can know. Now, first of all, I think about the wonderful promises that the Lord has given to us. I'm glad he did not leave us without some words of comfort. And he did not leave us without some promises of some things that he would do for us while he was gone. Now turn over to the book of John, and we'll look a little bit in John's gospel concerning some of these wonderful promises that he has left behind. And we've already touched on it just a moment ago, but as he left a promise that he would come again. John chapter number 14, and a very familiar passage of Scripture here. In John chapter 14 and verse number 3, and Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here is a wonderful promise that the Lord has given to his disciples, and therefore has given to you and I, that even though he's gone, he is returning. He is coming again. Our Lord shall return, the old song says. And one of these days, as the Bible declares to us, he will come again, and we will rejoice, and we'll see him in the clouds, in the sky, and we'll go up to be with him forever and forever. That is a promise that we can depend upon. That is a promise that we can rely upon, that he has not left us here to the point that there is no way that he's returning, but he has told us time and time again, "I will come again for my people." And so that's a wonderful promise that we have. Verse 35 of our text, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh." It could be at morning, it could be at evening, it could even be at midnight, or it could be the early hours when the rooster is crowing. But we know not the hour, we know not the day, but we certainly know the time, and we know the position of things of this world when Jesus shall return. And that's a great promise. He has not left us here to wonder. He has not left us here to think, well, is it never going to get any better? Is it never going to change? And I'll tell you what, if this is the best we have, we are all men most miserable. But if this is the best, but by the way, this is the best that the lost has. This is the best that the lost world will ever experience, because when they die without God, then the destiny awaits them of hell without God and without hope. But you and I have a promise that he's coming again, and he's coming for you and I. He tells us there in John, he says, "Not let your heart be troubled. My Father's house are many mansions." And he said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there ye may be also." So one of the wonderful great promises that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, left us when he left this world is he says, "I will come again. I will come back and I will receive you." The Lord didn't leave here forever. He's coming again. Now, we look at the times and the seasons. We think of all the historical events that has taken place since the Lord left this world. And Sometimes people begin to wonder and doubt, is He really coming? Oh yes, He's really coming, just like He said. We know not the time, we don't know the hour. It could be at morning, it could be at noon, it could be at night, or even the midnight hour, but Jesus is coming. I got to thinking one time, it doesn't matter what hour of the day He's coming, somewhere it will be morning, somewhere it will be night, somewhere it will be evening, somewhere it will be early morning, late evening, because this world is on a cycle. And wherever we are and wherever it is, it's different for somebody else. So one of these days, Jesus is coming. It'll be at noon, or it'll be at midnight, or it'll be at an hour early or an hour late, but He's coming. Thank God for the promise that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and His return. Not only did He tell us He was going to come again, but while we are left here, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to give you a comforter. And He calls Him another comforter. And so that makes us know that Jesus is our first comforter, and this other comforter is the Spirit of Truth. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 16, He says, here's the promise of the Spirit. John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, and He may abide with you forever. Notice now He identifies who the comforter is. Even the Spirit of Truth. Thank God tonight He's the Spirit that leads us into truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's that Comforter that lives inside. The Bible says we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are the temple of God, and therefore His abode is within us. And Jesus said, when I leave here, I'm going to give you another Comforter. And that happened, and it continues to happen. Every time somebody gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells that person and lives with them for all eternity. What a wonderful promise. Not only that He's coming, but until He comes, He's going to give us the Spirit of Truth. Until He comes, He's going to give us that part of the Godhead, that Holy Spirit that lives within us, that teaches us and trains us and leads us in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And so just because He's gone doesn't mean He's left us alone. Just because He's not in our eyesight and not in our hearing of our ears, but now we have Him in our heart. We have the Spirit of God that lives within us, and He is the Comforter. He's the one that can take our prayers and give them to the Lord. And God understands our heart and our needs. That the Bible says He even takes the groanings of our soul and He gives them to the Lord. And He is that one that strengthens and comforts and helps us in times of sickness and sorrows and problems that arise. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That one that settles an unsettled soul. That one that takes care of the needs of His people, because He's the Comforter. And God has promised us, Jesus said, I will send you a Comforter. And He said, if I go, He said, I will come again. And when I go, He said, I will send you another Comforter that will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. So that's a wonderful promise. He hasn't left us here alone. He hasn't left us here by ourselves. He's not with us, but the Holy Spirit is. He's not in our eyes, and He's not in our ears, and we don't handle and touch Him as the disciples did, but now He's having even a closer relationship with you and I through the Holy Spirit, because now He lives on the inside, and He gives us comfort and strength and helps us in all the ways of life. Another thing in the Gospel of John He gives us, and what He left behind, tells us in John chapter number 10, and verse number 27, He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which giveth them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here we have the promise not only of His return, not only of a Comforter, but we have the promise that we have eternal life. We have the promise of security, that we know that if we belong to Him, Jesus said, My Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And by the way, I and the Father are one. And so we have the promise of our security in the Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that we hear the voice of the Lord? The sheep doesn't hear the voice of a stranger. The sheep doesn't recognize a different shepherd's voice. We know the voice of our Savior because He lives within us through the Holy Spirit. And so therefore we have the Comforter, and we have the Shepherd, that He has given to us eternal life, never perish, but always remaining in the graces and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in John chapter 14, another promise that He has given to us, in John chapter 14, verse number 27, I almost use this for the text verse tonight, since we're talking about what He has left behind. He tells us in verse number 27, John 14, He says, "Peace I leave with you." What He has left, what He left behind, thank God He's left peace. We don't have to be in turmoil. We don't have to be in an uproar. We don't have to be undecided. He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Thank God for the peace of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, "But the Comforter," there's that Comforter we talked a moment ago, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," what is He? The Comforter. "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave unto you." Thank God tonight we can have peace. In a world of struggles, in a world that when you read the newspaper, when you watch the news, can you find anywhere that there is real peace? All that you hear is calamity. All that you hear is war and rumors of wars. All we're hearing now is the economic destruction that's taking every country, Europe and America and every other country. Even they said yesterday China was in a downturn, and they're one of the fastest growing economies of all the world. They own most of America. We've borrowed so much from them. And so we're living in a world that is so intertwined with each other that if one falls and one falters, then we're all going to suffer for that. And by the way, that's what the Lord said it would be in His coming. So He's coming again. "Watch ye therefore." We don't know the hour. We don't know the time. But we can certainly look at the skies and we can see. As the sailor can look at the sky and tell if it's going to be good weather or bad weather, the Lord says we can look and we can know what's on the horizon for the people of God. But does that unsettle us? It should not. Because Jesus said, "My peace I have left unto you." The peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. The world cannot understand. When I say world, I'm talking about the lost world. This world that Jesus is talking about here. He says, it's not what the world gives you. "My peace I leave you, I give you not as the world giveth." It's not what society gives. And when the world looks at all these things and calamity's coming and they're in an uproar and in a struggle, what in the world is going to happen? And the child of God is at peace. They do not understand that. But you see, we have a promise from a Savior. We have a promise from the one that saved us and given us life eternal, that He's going to take care of us, that He's going to help us, that He's going to make things work for us when it doesn't work for everybody else. He's going to protect us and He's going to guide and direct us. And therefore, we have the peace that passes all understanding. And thank God, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit living within us and telling us things are all right. When it's not all right with the world, but it's all right with us. Why? Because our Savior has left these things behind for us. He's left them here to help us. Just think what kind of a life would a Christian life be if we didn't have promises? What kind of life would a child of God have if he didn't have the promise of the Lord coming? If we didn't have the knowledge that one day He's coming? We live in that anticipation, as every generation has. I believe even the Apostle Paul lived with the anticipation that Jesus was coming again. He talked about that. He preached about it. The Apostle John said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And so every generation has lived with that anticipation and that hope that Jesus is coming. And that has sustained us. And so thank the Lord for His wonderful promises that He has left behind. He has left them with us that we can rejoice in Him. Not only has He left us promises, but He's left behind a worshiping people. A people that love the Lord. A people that, even though there are worries, they worship. Even though there are wonders, what's going to happen, we still know how to worship the Lord. Today, there are many people that are wondering what's going to take place. There are many people that are worried about what's on the horizon. And rightfully so in some areas. We look at what's taking place and some of the regulations and laws that are coming down in our country, it makes us worry. It makes us wonder. What's around the corner? What's going to happen? I'm glad we don't have to live there, but thank God we can worship the Lord even with those things in our life. I believe when Jesus left there in the book of Acts, if you'll read those first few chapters, you'll find that those disciples, they were worried. They didn't know what the future held for them. And all of a sudden you have somebody stoned to death named Stephen. All of a sudden you have some thrown in jail and they're wondering what's going to take place. But all the time that's taking place, all the time that's happening, you'll find them in a little room praying for the Apostle Peter. They'll be praying for one of their own, and they'll be worshiping the Lord, and they'll be doing what God, even though the struggles of life are upon them, they are still acknowledging and knowing who to go to and how that those things can be healed. They were a serving people. And the Lord has left behind a people that will worship Him and serve Him and be submissive to the will of God and just simply have success in their life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church needs to be conscious of those things, and Christians need to be conscious of holding forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior unto the world. Now, I know the world today says they want all kinds of Saviors, but there's only one. His name's Jesus. He's not Buddha. He's not Allah. He's not any of those names. He's none other than Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And so you and I, as a church and as a Christian, we are to be holding forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of all that will believe. If we do not do that, then we're nothing more than a lifeless form. We have no power. If we do not do that, we're like a watchman that is asleep at the post. And the Lord told these men here, He said, "Now, you porter, you better watch, because unless I come suddenly and find you asleep." Coming suddenly, He finds the watchman asleep. And if we're not holding forth the Lord as Savior, we're like that watchman that is asleep. If we're not warning people of the impending judgment of God, we're like a trumpet without a sound. A trumpet is beautiful to look upon. I like the way it looks, but I sure like the way it sounds. I love the trumpet sound. Any of the wind instruments I enjoy listening to. But the trumpet has a distinctive sound. It has that clarion sound, that call. And the Lord tells us that one day we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. And that trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with them forever in the air with the Lord. But if we're not telling the story, we're like a trumpet that's just sitting over there doing nothing. Well, it may look good. It may be all shined up. But it's not doing what it's meant to do. A trumpet is made to be blown. It's not made to be shined and made to look pretty. It's not something that's set over on the corner. A trumpet is something that's to be used. And you and I tonight, we are to be the trumpet of the Lord to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not doing that, we're just a parasite, just living off of something else in the name of religion. But the Lord has left His people to be worshipers. If we worship Him, we must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth, according to the Word of God. So He's left behind the promises, and He's left behind a worshiping people. And that people are told to be an ambassador. I heard someone talking today. It hadn't been too long ago. We talked about an ambassador for Christ. I was listening to some, I guess it's a news program today, is on the radio. They was talking about the highest authority figure in another country is the ambassador. And the Lord has told us we are ambassadors for Christ. And we're in this world as the only authority, the highest authority figure that the Lord could choose would be for you and I to be His ambassador, to make statements on His behalf, to say what our government would say. You see, when an ambassador goes to another country, when he makes a statement, he is speaking for and speaking as the United States. And you and I tonight, as a child of God, we are an ambassador of Christ. We speak for and speak as what God would have us to do. So we're to be worshiping Him as a servant, submissive child of God. Then He left behind also a work. Not only was it a wonderful promise and worshiping a group of people, but he left a work to be completed. He tells us here in our text where we read, He says, He gave authority to His servants and to every man His work. Every person had a work. And I believe every believer has a work. We've got something that God can use us in doing for Him. Now, not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody is a missionary. And by the way, when a person surrenders to do the will of God, doesn't mean they're surrendering to do that kind of work. Just surrender to do the will of God. God needs and God has to have people that will serve Him to do the work. There are folks, thank God, that are Christian lawyers, and they work and they do things that I cannot do. And there's been times I've had to call upon them in order to get advice on certain issues that come up. And I'm glad they are on my side. So God has a work for all of us to do. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us to do. God has a desire for us to be servants of the Lord. He has a work. Whether we doctors or lawyers or farmers or caretakers or whatever it is, God has a place for us. And it's important, and one is not above the other if we're doing the will of the Lord. You see, what I'm doing as a pastor, that's the will of God for my life. If I did something else, I'd be out of the will of God. It wouldn't have to be something bad, but if I did something else right now, I'd be out of the will of God. God wants me to pastor. God called me to preach, and so that's the work that He has for me. But tonight, He has a work for you. And it's just as important your work, because all the work comes down to winning people to Christ. That's what the work's about. And so the servant here is given a commandment. He's being told here, and he's given the word authority there to his servants. He gives power to his servants to do the work. And I'm glad, thank God, we have the power to do the work. It's not in our power, it's not in our livelihood, it's not in our desires, not in our flesh, but the work that we do has been given to us as authority from the Lord to serve Him and to be what we can be. It's a rewarding work. Matthew 19:29, He says, some will receive 100-fold. It's a rewarding time. He gives to us, and we give back, and then He gives to us again. The old cliche is, you can't outgive the Lord. That's true. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't outwork God. You can't outdo anything God has for us. And the more we do, the more He rewards us. And we need to understand that our work is an urgent work. John chapter 9, verse 4. Read that verse to you. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Here's why it's so urgent. The night cometh when no man can work. I must do the work while it's daytime, because there's a night coming when no man can work. There's a period of time in society that's coming when the work's going to be over. Our job one day will be finished. My job will be completed. Paul said he was ready to be offered. He had completed his task. He said, I've finished my course. One day mine will be finished. One day yours will be finished. Either at the dying process that takes place, or when the Lord comes to receive us and that promise of His coming. But one day our work will be over. And I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. While I have breath, while I have life. It's much easier. Now, if we had something we had to do out here, it's much easier to do it during the daytime than it is the nighttime. It's Much easier. Now, summertime, we work till daylight, till dark, out and doing different things. And sometimes when this time changes and it gets dark at 5 o'clock, I rejoice. I told Sharon, I said, well, at least we're not outside till 9 o'clock doing something. Why? Because it's dark. But while it's day, we do the work. And so we have a work to be completed, and we must do it now. The Bible says in John chapter number 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already. It's an urgent task. You see, sometimes we make that a statement, but if you'll notice there in verse 35, that's a question. He says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? It's a question. Don't we say that? We've got plenty of time. But the Lord says, no, no. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, they're white already. That means time has not waited, and time will not wait. And so the work that we have to be completed is an urgent work. But thank God, it is a rewarding work, and it is important. But He's left us a warning. He's left behind not just some promises and some people. And not only has He left just a work, but He's left a warning to all of us. He tells us that we are not to remove some ancient landmarks or certain things not to be removed. I believe these are the fundamentals of the faith. Those ancient landmarks of what we believe and what we hold as true, don't move them. Don't remove them. That means do not take them away. There's a warning there. He tells us in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the house of God. So that's a warning there. We must stay true to the Lord. He warns us not to put off the seriousness of hell. He warns the lost, don't put it off. For today is the day of salvation, and death is coming to all. And Hebrews 9 says it's the point a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. So don't put it off, because there's a day coming you're going to die. There's a warning there to the saved and to the lost. We as a believer, we're not to disregard our responsibility, because He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing and teaching them and showing them the way, the truth, and the life. And He gives us a warning that if we disregard that, then people will die without God. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we have preachers. That's why we have churches. That's why we have evangelists. That's why we have everything working in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He left us these things. They're good things. He left us wonderful promises. He left us a people that will worship Him. He's left us a work to be done. Aren't you glad there's something to do? Something to do. We're not here just floating around, lollygagging around. We're here to do a work, to serve the Lord. And He warns us, saved and lost alike. He warns us that time is not going to stand still. Time is not going to wait. It's amazing to me how time goes by so quickly. I was thinking today, something was said about 1990. That seems like it ought to have been yesterday, but that's been 20-something years ago. Mercy. It looks, sounds bad, don't it? I remember 1990 like just the other day. How many of you remember all the hoopla about Y2K? Well, that's been 12 years ago. Doesn't seem that long. So God warns us that time passes by. And what we do, we better do now. Because one day the night will be upon us. And I'm glad, thank God, this last thing He left. It's in the last book of the Bible. It's not in the last verse, but it's right there at the end of the verse. He leaves us a last invitation. He tells us in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. There's an invitation here. He's left an invitation for everyone to come. When Jesus was in His earthly ministry, He said, come, take of the water of life freely. Come unto me, you that are heavy laden, burdened, come. So all through His ministry, Jesus said, come unto Him. Well, He's gone back to heaven now. He ascended there in Acts chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul took up the task of getting the work accomplished in many places. And then the Apostle John hears the and sees the revelation of God from heaven, sees the apocalypse and all the things that are going to take place upon this earth. But the last thing that the Lord tells John, what a wonderful invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, this book, not to add, not to take away, he says. And then he says, and I testify these things, verse 20, surely I come quickly. And there's that promise once again, I'm coming. So he leaves us an invitation. It's a loving invitation. The Spirit of God, the bride of Christ, which is the church, say, come. He that is athirst, let him come. Everyone, come. Whosoever will, come. What a loving invitation that God gives. It's a universal invitation. It's to whosoever will. I praise the Lord tonight. When Jesus left here, he left some things behind. And he left them for our benefit and for our help. When he saved us, he didn't just leave us here to wait for his appearing. He saved us with the understanding that we have these blessed things that we've discussed tonight that he's left behind. One day he's coming to get us and receive us unto himself. And I pray that he'll say to each and every one, well done, thou good, faithful servant. You see, the servant was left authority to do the work. And the only way you do, the only way you have the blessings of the Lord is to be faithful to the work. We have the authority. Somebody said, who gives you authority to tell me I'm going to hell? The book does. We're the servants of the Lord. And he's gone. And he's told his servants there's a work to be done. And so, if we're going to have the blessings of the Lord, well done, thou good, faithful servant. And let's do what God tells us to do. Use these things. Depend upon these things that he has left behind for us. You know, there's stories that are given that sometimes people have left things along a trail on purpose for someone that they know would be coming behind them. Well, the Lord's left these things behind for us because he knows we're there. He knows our need. He knows our heart. He knows our struggles. And he says, here's the promise. Here's how I help you. Here's some people that you can get with and you can worship the Lord together. Here's a work that you can do. All these things. And he said, oh, by the way, the invitation is everyone to come. I'm glad, thank God, he left some things behind. Let's stand together tonight.